Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We are just completing another wonderful Epiphany season, fresh from seeing the gloriously gleaming Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. In spite of its early beginning this year, we are readying ourselves for the start of Lent on Wednesday by packing away our alleluias and pulling out our sackcloth and ashes. Once again, we have smugly reminded ourselves that we are not theologians of glory who, like Peter, want to build shine Jesus shine shrines to preserve such an experience of Jesus, but we are theologians of the cross who set our face towards Jerusalem and fix our eyes on the Jesus lifted up there for our salvation. The cross, not glory, we tell ourselves. Such a distinction between the theology of the cross and the theology of glory is helpful, but it can also contribute to a misunderstanding or even rejection of an important biblical reality, the glory of God in Christ. The Apostle Paul was a theologian who focused on the glory of God in its proper biblical sense, and our reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 3 is a proof text of just that. In this chapter, Paul refers to the literal veil that Moses wore over his face after he came down from Mount Sinai, from beholding the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights. The Exodus narrative repeatedly talks about how Moses beheld the glory of God there, the kavod, which means there the very weightiness or image or very form of God. Moses' face glowed so brightly after being with God for 40 days and 40 nights that he wore a veil to cover that radiant splendor that was on his face until that radiance faded away with time. Paul is calling to mind, to our mind, that transfiguration experience from the Old Testament that rivals even what Peter, James, and John saw because it went on for such a length of time. But as Paul notes, the brilliant glory on the face of Moses gradually faded away. This experience, much like a Super Bowl victory, was but a short-lived blip on a radar screen. Paul's purpose in bringing this veil up was not to discount or dismiss Moses' seeing of the glory of God, but rather to use it as an illustration of the difference between a Jewish and Christian reading of the Old Testament. He writes, "Since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses who put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not see the end of the fading splendor. But their minds were hardened to this day when they read the old covenant. That same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. But when a man turns to the Lord, the veil is removed." Paul is saying that if one is reading the Old Testament scriptures without seeing Christ, who is the glory, the very image of God, it is like a veil blinding the reader to the gracious God that is being revealed in those scriptures. He relates this again in chapter 4, which follows our reading. "And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the likeness of God." Many of us have heard those Transfiguration Day sermons that say, "Here is your glimpse of the glory of God. Take a good look, because you aren't going to see it for at least another year or until the last day of the Lord dawns. Paul, however, would not preach such a sermon. Paul speaks in our text about the ongoing transformation produced by the reading of the Scriptures in the lives of those who are possessed by baptism by the Lord, who is the Spirit. Indeed, he writes, "And we all, with unveiled faces, reflect as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another." For Paul, seeing the glory of God is not a temporary experience that happened to a select few. It is the ongoing experience of the baptized as we read the Scriptures and see in them over and over again, again and again, the glory of God, the very Christ. Not only do we see the glory of God repeatedly, but we are permanently, not temporarily, being transformed by the Christ who we behold when we are looking into those Scriptures, as Paul says. "And we all, with unveiled faces, reflect as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another." Paul is not talking about progressive sanctification, but the ongoing restoration of the image of God lost at the fall, the glory of God we all lack due to our fallen nature. He says this pointedly in our text, or in the verses following our text, when he writes, "Though our outer man is wasting away, our inner man is being renewed every day, and this inner man is none other than the new man, the Christ to whom we were joined in baptism, the very glory and image of God that is now shown forth in our lives, which have become his temple." So what does this glory of God look like in us, who wear no veil to hide it? Paul tells us in the verses following our text, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels to show that the transcendent power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also be manifested in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh." This is a glory that won't attract all of the cameras that we see clicking at a Super Bowl celebration. But this is a glory that will transform the world much more than a New England victory. We dare not veil this glory of God, this life of Jesus in us, with the sackcloth during the 40 days of Lent. We can be bold, as Paul writes here, bold to offer an unveiled mere reflection of him throughout the journey of Lent. Indeed, throughout the journey of life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.